It's Malachi, your rank Arminian. Malachi 3, the last book of the Old Testament. We're going to look at two verses here to get started. The title today is The Holy Standard. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Let's have a word of prayer and we'll dive in here. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for all those that are able to attend. I ask, Father, that you'd use me to do a good work here today to help these people in some way, Father, to lift them up and comfort them, Father, to edify them, to educate them, Father. I ask, Father, you keep me focused for the time allotted, that you keep my mind intact, Father, for that long. I ask, Father, that you'd watch over this church, grow it in the most holy fashion, that you'd use it to continue to spread the gospel in this community, Father. And Father, we pray for all those on the prayer list that are sick and afflicted, Father. We ask that you'd be with them, heal them as you see fit, Father. And Father, I ask for forgiveness for our sins. I ask, Father, once more that you'd use me to say what you once said, Father. We ask all these things in Christ's holy name. And amen. Amen. Can you hear me, Brother Garth?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we live in a world of relativism. You know, it's my truth and your truth, my facts and your facts. Well, to quote a Jew, Ben Shapiro, a conservative commentator, there are facts and there are your fitting your feelings. And that's what there is. There are facts and there are opinions. There's no your truth and my truth. You know, we had a big deal. The Pope was supposedly went over to, I think it was Iran here a while back, and he was praying with the grand poobah of Iran, whatever the head cleric is, the Ayatollah, I think they call him. And you see these bumper stickers that say, coexist, and they have all the world's different religious symbols on them to make the word coexist. Beloved, we are not called to coexist. Christianity is preeminent. Christianity is dominant. Christianity is the way to salvation. There is no coexist. There is no get along with everybody. Christianity is the way to salvation through Jesus Christ. People say that the truth depends on your point of view and right and wrong depends on your point of view, and they deny such a thing as an absolute. Well, beloved, I want to tell you today, I can deny something. That doesn't stop it from existing. Okay, I can deny that the sun is shining, but we can go outside and my denial doesn't do a thing, does it? I can deny that Brother Don's sitting there on the front pew, but there he is in all his glory. You know, the problem with this world, I made this mention at the men's meeting, the problem with this world all boils down to Jesus. The problems of this world could be fixed with Christ. And when Christ returns, if you stop and think about it, when Christ returns, the problems of this world are fixed, aren't they? Inequality is fixed. Injustice is fixed. Racism is fixed. Everything is fixed by Christ. You know, part of the problem from a moral standpoint is the denial of existence of God as we know Him in the Bible. I deal with people all the time that proclaim themselves to be Christian, and if they're a Christian, I'm Hindu. Well, I believe in God. That's great. The devil believes in God. He's talked to Him. Well, I believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus. He tempted Him in the wilderness for 40 days. Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you're getting somewhere, but you still lack something. The devils know that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. The devils know more than, if you stop and think about it, the devils know more than Jehovah's Witnesses do. if you really want to get down to brass tacks about it, I'm just going to muddy up every. I'm going to get banned off Facebook before this is all said and done. It is what it is, beloved. You can like it or not like it. The truth is the truth. All right? And there is a standard in this world. It's right here. It is absolute. If it calls something wrong, it's wrong. If it says something's right, it's right. So many people today, they take that and they lay it aside. Well, we don't know that the Bible's accurate, they say. Well, then what are you going to base your life on? Well, what are you going to base your life on? You're going to base it on something. Like it or not, they've got rid of the Ten Commandments in school. They've got rid of prayer in school. They've got rid of God in school. They're going real well at removing God from government. But this country was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Period. I've dealt with people before that claim to know God and they're not saved. I deal with a lot of people that say that they know the Lord and they are. It is hard. You talk about trying to crack a nut. It is hard to talk to someone that is convinced that they're saved and isn't. It's so hard to talk to them because they don't see themselves. Brother Clarence said one time to me, you can't get someone saved if you can't get them lost. Yeah. And it's the truth. Yeah. To be saved, you have to be lost. Mm-hmm. I'm not chasing a rabbit here. I'm going to make the point, and part of the problem from a moral standpoint is the denial of the existence of God as we know Him in the Bible. And say, I'm a Christian. I got gnawed on, chewed on, chewed up, spit out, the fur flew. It was awful. I had a little ball patch in my beard right there from it. I made the point one time that we did not have to celebrate Christmas, and whoo, did I get jumped on. And I made the point. And I'm not telling you don't celebrate Christmas. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm asking you this. You show me in the Bible, where does it say that we have to celebrate Christmas? You show me in the Bible where it says that we have to celebrate Easter. We celebrate the Lord on the first day of the week as the disciples did with Jesus. And we don't even have to do that. We can meet 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week if we want to. The early church, if I'm not mistaken, met 7 days a week. Laws, beloved, are only valid if they come from a higher authority. If you remove God, then understand me clearly, there is no higher authority than man. And if there's no higher authority than man, then I can justify anything that I want to do. Anything, period. I've seen people say, well, murder's wrong. It doesn't take God for me to know that murder's wrong. No, if there's no God, murder may be wrong to you. To me, it's an inconvenience because I've got a list of people. I just got a finger point from the audience. I better be good. Murder is wrong because God said it's wrong. That's why it's wrong. So, well, Mike, society can determine that murder is wrong, and therefore, no, then it's an inconvenience if I get caught. There's no consequence if I can escape from it. There's no escape, however, from God, is there? No. In a godless society, everyone must decide right from wrong using their own moral compass. And that's wonderful. I used to read and think in the Old Testament when it said there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You think about that for a minute. How chaotic that would be. How lawless that would be. We like to think that if every man did that which is right in his own eyes, that everybody would be on the same page. Not everybody's saved, are they? The law is a standard that we are to live by. This is a standard that we are to live by. Whenever the books are opened, and I'm convinced that one of the books that's opened in Revelation is a Bible, is God's Word. It doesn't say God opens up a Bible, but I know that we're going to be judged by every idle word that we say. We're going to be judged by something. What are we going to be judged by? The Word. Watch me knock that lamp over. We're going to be judged by what's in this book. What does this book say about adultery? What does it say about theft? What does it say about murder? What does it say about the LGBTQXYZ lifestyle? I'm throwing letters on the end of it because every time you turn around, they've thrown another letter on the end of it. They come up with some new perversion that they want to identify as being normal. It's not normal. It's an abomination. God calls it an abomination. He burnt two cities to the ground for it. Flattened them. But here we hear people today, oh, love is love. No, there are fellows in this world that I love. I love my uncles, I love my friends, but there's a difference between love and lust. A law, a standard. A standard is a level of quality or attainment, or an idea or a thing used as a measure, norm, or model in evaluations. We live our lives according to this book. We live our lives according to what this book says. We live our lives according to what this book says to do. This book says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So we're here today, aren't we? Somewhere in there, the 13th commandment says, thou shalt wear a tie, so I'm wearing a tie today. That's the one thing I don't like about preaching. I love talking about God. I just don't like supplying the noose for people to hang me. God's law is a standard by which we judge all other laws and regulations. Why? Because there's none higher than God. God is the ultimate law giver. There is none higher. There's no appeals court. When God says something, it's final. You don't go any higher than Him. But what do we do? What do we do with something like abortion? It's legal, isn't it? Well, it's legal, so there's nothing we can do about it. God said, thou shalt not kill. Period. So that makes it wrong, doesn't it? According to God's law, you're not to kill another human being. We can set every secular law that we have in this way up against God's law and see if it's legal according to the Most High. Every law, and you'd be amazed at how many laws there are that are anti-God. We can also set our individual behavior up against God's law to see if it's legal. You know, I remarked on the gay community there just a few minutes ago, God calls that behavior an abomination. He destroyed two cities. I told you that. You can find it, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's in the Bible. It's plain. It's there. It's not hard to read. The simple refusal to read it is what people have done. But what about us in our day-to-day lives? How does our day-to-day life compare to God's standard? When was the last time you heard the preacher talking and you thought, man, I just wish he'd shut up? I'm hungry, I'm tired, I want to go eat, I want to go home. There's a ball game on, there's a race on. NASCAR, that was like the 14th commandment, wasn't it, brother? Hallelujah, Brother Don, but I tell you what, when he puts on one of them jackets, he's so big, he looks like one of the cars themselves. I love you, brother. What about anything else that comes to our mind? Matthew 22 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? This is my favorite, one of my favorite passages in the Bible right here. There are two of them. There's this and the Great Commission given at the end of Matthew. I love both of them. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's not hard to be a Christian. You know, I pick Brother Don, I ride him like a rented mule, but I love him. And it honestly would bother me if I hurt his feelings. I'm not going to let him know, but it'd bother me if I hurt one of y'all's feelings. Which is a problem because a lot of times that mouth of mine gets going before I get the transmission in gear. The things that fall out of my mouth. Sometimes I just sit stupefied wonder at what comes out. There's always something between us and God. Always there's something between us and God. If we are to have perfect fellowship with God, we have to renounce sin and we have to be sure to repent of the sin in our lives. There's always, always, mark my words, there's always something between you and God. What about your neighbor? I've made this point before. I don't like myself and I've got neighbors I like less. But self-loathing, no, we should be repentant. But we shouldn't be self-loathing. We should love one another. We should love ourselves because God saw fit to love us. Although we're worthless, God decided to make us of infinite value. He gave His only begotten Son for us. You are worth the blood of Christ. If you're here today, if you're saved, you are worth the blood of Christ. Beloved, there's times coming that I don't like the thoughts of. And that's my next point. It's what do we do when God's law runs contrary to man's law? We follow God. Right now, and now when I say this with a but, I may be wrong. But if I read the article correctly, right now in Australia, going through their House of Parliament or whatever they call it, they have drafted a bill that will make it illegal and punishable by up to 10 years in prison for me or any other clergy to intervene on behalf of someone that wants to escape the gay lifestyle. If you try and counsel them, if you try and pray for them openly with them, if you try and educate them about what God's Word says, it is punishable by up to 10 years in prison. And I don't know if they passed it or if it was just going through their house. That's in Australia, one of the land of the free. They're on par with the United States. We don't think about stuff like that, but it's coming, folks. We have the Equality Act, and you can put that in quotes, that went through Congress, and if I'm not mistaken, was signed. So now, boys can participate in girls' sports. They're not boys, they're transgender. They're men! And they're taking away from our girls, from our women, from our children. It's what they are. Period. It's godless. Not a little bit, not sort of, not kind of. It is godless, and it is coming our way. Mm-hmm. What I say right now could be construed as hate speech. Mm-hmm. And it's not hate speech. I don't hate these people. I wish for them to change. I wish for them to know God. Like I said earlier, what is the answer to the world's problem? Jesus. You name it, that's the answer. It will cost the love and the favor of this world, beloved, whenever we point out sin like that. Boy, you want to make someone mad. Tell them that being gay is sin. Is a sin. Tell them that the lifestyle that they're living is a sin. That God said, I did that one time. Woo! The little fellow was busy going on and on and on about they had a Bible, and it was called the Queen James Bible. I said, Queen, not King, the Queen James Bible. And it said that being gay was all right. And I said, that is not God's Word. And God said that what you're doing is a sin. I said, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. I'm not anything. I'm simply telling you what God says on the matter in the fur flu. I tell you why I don't hate people like that. We have to remember that we're lawbreakers ourselves. I pick up Brother Don. He comes out to the house and he loves. I've got one truck that he loves. He's determined he's going to drive it. One way or the other, he's going to beat that truck into submission. And I keep telling him it ain't going to happen until he gives in and does what it wants. He's the only man I know that can find 24 gears on a 13-speed transmission. I say that to say this. I have a CDL. I learned to drive truck. I like to drive trucks. If I didn't preach, I'd go back to driving a truck. I really like driving trucks. Played with them in the sandbox when I was little, and I never got over it. I say that to say this. I was informed when I got my license that there were so many regulations that you committed a crime just by driving. There was always something you forgot to do or check before you got behind the wheel. Let's get a little closer to home. How many of you all obey the speed limit? It's 35-ish in town. Mm-hmm. 25-ish when you get downtown. Mm-hmm. Notice the ish on the end of it. Why? You don't know how many times I look down and I'm going over the speed limit. We're not supposed to, are we? But we're lawbreakers. How much more so with God's law? See, under God's law, thought counts as much. The thought, understanding the thought, counts as much as the actual doing it. So, fellas, whenever you see a woman walking down the street, even though you can stand there and say, I would never cheat on my wife, what is the very first thing that crosses your mind? Bang. Ladies, see, we like to pick at the guys, but ladies have the same problem. How about this? How about you see that the neighbor just got a nice, shiny new pickup truck? One of my buddies just got one. He got a brand new 2021 F-350. It's nice. Crew cab, aluminum bed. Gooseneck hitch, trailer brake control, exhaust brake. It's nice. And I want it. It's a sin. I shouldn't covet his stuff. God gave me what I need. He didn't give me what I wanted. Understand what I said? I want that truck. No, he gave me what I need. What I have suffices perfectly for what I need to do. Yeah. We need an advocate to keep us safe from the penalty. Yeah. If you stop and think about it, and like Brother Clarence said, if you say that you don't have sin in your life, what does the Bible say about it? You're a liar and the truth's not in you. Beloved, we have an advocate in Christ. Romans 8:33-35. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing, beloved, nothing separates you from God's love. you have someone that stands at the right side of God, at the right hand of the Father, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, and makes intercession for you. If you're saved, and this is a mental image that I always have, and I'm not saying it's correct, I'm just saying it's a mental image that I have. I can just almost see the devil going, did you see what Mike did? Because Mike does a lot, and Mike thinks even more. Mike could be said to have a closet case of road rage. Everybody in this world don't know how to drive. And I'd like to put them all back in school. Well, I can almost see the devil standing there. Did you see what he just said? Did you see what he just thought? Did you see what he just did? And I can see Christ stand there and hold his hand up and say, I paid for that. He's mine. He belongs to me. So I'm going to close with just two questions. This is my first closing. You know, how do you stand in relation to God's law? How do you stand? Are you going to be honest with yourself? Are you going to look in the mirror and admit really and truly what you are and ask for forgiveness? That's what you have to do if you're a Christian. You know, the publican on the street corner said the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. But the publican, he said he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He just said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have you said, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner? Are you forgiven or condemned? So that's the most important question. And people always, whenever it comes to Calvinistic belief, they always want to say, well, you don't believe in free will. I don't believe in free will. I believe in free nature. And if your nature says that you need God, you need God. Are you forgiven or are you condemned? That's the question of your life. And I want to close with that. Brother Don, you come.